It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This week, the Universities of Wisconsin announced a slate of budget proposals aimed at boosting the state's workforce, economy, and access to health care.
The system is seeking $240 million for programs that they say would train 300,000 workers and create 2,500 new businesses. Another $90 million, that would go to expand healthcare training.
That comes as the U.S. Department of Education is changing its rules around what degrees are classified as professional and which majors have access to federal student loans. Renee Wachter is interim president of the Universities of Wisconsin after serving as longtime chancellor of UW-Superior. President Wachter, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good morning, Rob. It is great to be here.
Let's start with this healthcare professional side of things. This proposal called Healthy Wisconsin, aimed at training 35,000 healthcare workers over the next decade. What kind of things would need to happen on individual UW campuses to meet that goal?
Well, let me just take a step back and talk about, you know, how this particular proposal and promise was developed. You know, we spent a lot of time in the leading months coming up to this, you know, going around the state, talking to folks in our communities, talking to our businesses, as well as our campus leaders, our institutions that are located throughout the state that create this beautiful web. You know, and healthcare access certainly was one of the issues that came up. And, you know, frankly, coming from the Northland, you don't need a spreadsheet to understand what rural Wisconsinites are currently facing. And that is that when you have a shortage of healthcare professionals, you have longer wait times. Sometimes you can't get access to specialists. And sometimes, you know, folks may need to drive to have access to healthcare. So our 13 universities are really poised to accelerate the number of professionals that we are producing so that we're making sure that access is not an issue to receiving health care.
What does that look like on the ground then at individual campuses? Are they expanding current programs, starting new programs to train healthcare workers?
I think what the full details will be available on Monday, but I think you'll see a whole wide variety of initiatives, everything from developing programs to produce radiologists, to expanding nursing programs, to physician assistants. It really, the beauty of these proposals is that it really addresses the needs that are specific across various regions.
And you mentioned northern Wisconsin as having a need for workers, a lot of rural parts of the state. Is it going to be a priority to try to find ways to make sure that at least a portion of these graduates of these programs, once they're up and running, end up in rural Wisconsin, end up in northern Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of this. We know that, you know, our Universities of Wisconsin is really the state's best investment to mobilize and keep momentum going, especially in our rural communities. What this budget allows us to do is to really ramp up those partnerships that we already have and expand to new partnerships so that we're doing things like placing students in internships, giving them experience hands-on with these businesses to encourage them and show them that Wisconsin is a place where you can live and thrive and earn a living for you and a family that you may want to start.
Last year, the Trump administration rolled out a policy to reclassify nursing degrees, in particular, as not being professional. It's a kind of a complicated formula. It would affect the amount of student loans, though, available to nursing students, putting a cap on that. Do you have a concern that that could slow down your proposed effort to train more healthcare professionals here in the state?
I think we'll need to watch what happens in that federal space. You know, it tends to swing one way depending on the day that you wake up. But our commitment to Wisconsin and providing professionals will exist no matter what happens on the regulatory side.
We're talking to Renee Wachter, interim president of the Universities of Wisconsin, about some new budget proposals released this week. There's also initiatives called Tech for Tomorrow and Accelerate Wisconsin aimed at boosting other kinds of workforce development outside of that direct healthcare field. What does the career-ready part of this look like? What is the priority here?
We are trying to make sure a number of things, you know, when you're talking about helping fuel our businesses and also creating places where people, you know, go on to work and live within Wisconsin, it's going to take a number of things. And that is, number one, making sure that, you know, when they start with us, that they have the tools and supports to be successful. The other is making sure that we are reaching people where they are at. So not everybody can attend on a campus environment. We've got a lot of folks out there that are looking to either upskill or they are looking to seek additional credentials or to get in on the first place. And so creating programs that are accessible for them, whether that's competency-based learning, which basically says, hey, take what you've learned and let's apply that to college credit to get you going faster, to online programs. So if somebody is trying to juggle work, family, life, that they can still have that degree available to them. So that's just some of the things that we're looking at in this particular proposal.
With that accessibility issue, the system has closed down a bunch of the 2-year campuses around the state. That means for many people, that nearby campus, well, it's not quite as nearby anymore. How do you reach out to those communities, maybe especially those that lost those campuses, to say, yeah, you can join in these career-ready programs?
Yeah, we think we have tremendous opportunity in this space and are very excited. I mean, what our foremost is making sure that getting an education, getting that credential, getting that certificate is available to all Wisconsinites who want to seek it. And so, you know, we, whether that's today or whether that's looking at tomorrow, we're going to continue that pursuit of making sure that there are various options no matter where you are in the state so that you can advance your career.
How do you, as this program develops, if it's funded, how do you match what you're training people in around the system to what the employment needs are today, and acknowledging that employment needs change over time?
They do, and that's, I think, what really sets the universities apart is that we are training not just for the jobs for today, but also very conscious about those fundamental skills that prepare somebody when you don't know what that future is going to look like. You know, it is whether you're pro AI or anti AI, the fact is that it is changing people's lives. And it was something I think that was not on folks' radar screen probably about 10 years ago, but we're training people to be adaptable, to be those critical thinkers, to be those communicators, to be those team workers that are going to thrive no matter what the environment is out there.
Getting back to the federal level, the Department of Education announced earlier this summer a rule that says, hey, undergraduate programs, you've to be access certain kinds of federal loans and Pell Grants, you have to establish that your graduates make more money than they would have without a high school degree, same graduate students compared to undergraduate programs. That's raised concerns for things like early childhood education, social work, places where there are people needed, they're not lucrative. Do you have concerns about how that could affect student loans for some of these places where there is a need for workers?
You know, I think that federal space is challenging right now. We also know that it's very volatile, and certainly it's of concern for programs that cause many of our communities to thrive, whether you're talking about the arts or whether you are talking about things like early childhood. And we're just going to have to watch this space very closely to see how it plays out over the coming months.
You've mentioned a couple times watching that federal space. Is this something that the university is actively advocating on? Of course, you advocate at the state budget level. Are you making contact with federal lawmakers from Wisconsin to talk about these guidelines from the Department of Education?
We have been and always will be in close contact with both our local legislators as well as our federal representatives. And I can tell you that they are certainly supportive of the issues that go on within Wisconsin. So we continue to look, you know, for very productive dialogue over the coming months.
Now, these are budget requests we're talking about here. You don't know who the audience is at this point. It's election year. We don't know what the state legislature is going to look like. We don't know who the governor is going to be. How do you try to sell this, regardless of whether D's or R's are in charge in the state capitol?
I think, again, that that is just the beauty of this proposal and where why we are so excited about this, because it really does represent all Wisconsinites. These are challenges and issues that all Wisconsinites face. So I can't think of one community that's not affected by the quality of the health care that's available, or the concern that there are jobs available, or that people have the requisite skills to be able to obtain those jobs. So this is, you know, one of those proposals that really directly speaks to the things that challenge Wisconsin, but also can offer the momentum to keep things moving forward. Again, not just for today, but really trying to say, how are we going to position ourselves over the next decade to be a state that thrives and that its people can thrive when they're here?
Now, at this point, these are fairly broad proposals. It'll go to the legislature next year. What's the timeline like right now for fleshing out this plan. You mentioned more details coming, and for making it a formal budget request to the legislature.
So the typical process is, you know, we're speaking to the public. We want people to understand, you know, the investment that we're asking for in our state, in addressing these challenges. It goes before the full Board of Regents next week, after which it goes through a process in having conversations with the legislature and whoever is governor. And typically a budget is signed in probably sometime around that June or July period of 2027.
Now, there's probably a bunch of people listening right now saying, yeah, this all sounds great. We're looking at sending our kid to college next year. What's happening with tuition? As you craft these budget proposals, what are you looking at when it comes to the cost of higher education for UW system students?
I would say that we are always concerned about affordability. And we do know that the Universities of Wisconsin are one of the most affordable within the Midwest. We are always conscious of that. Tuition typically gets done in the spring, but I will also say that our universities offer tremendous value, that they really are gems in terms of what they're able to provide. I mean, coming as a chancellor from UW-Superior, I have seen firsthand how what we do on our campuses will change the trajectory of someone's lives. And so that's what I want people to think about out there is that this is truly an investment in somebody's future.
President Wachter, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Renee Wachter, interim president of the Universities of Wisconsin. We've been talking about a new series of budget proposals UW announced this week aimed at workforce training and business development. As a disclosure, Wisconsin Public Radio is a unit of UW-Madison.